I'm saying like a lot. I'm very Valley girl.
Yeah, you are like, yeah.
Like. Hey guys, welcome to the Teen Life Podcast, where we believe that teenagers are not a problem to be solved, but we're here to help you equip teenagers through the power of connection. And I'm Carly Duke, and I'm here with Chris Roby today.
Hey guys, welcome.
I don't know why often I say that, like, today. Like, you're not often here. You're always here.
Always here. Yeah, can't get rid of me.
Always here, ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
And today, now that we got that established, we are going to talk through another task of adolescence. So if you remember, if you listened to our podcast, I don't know, maybe 4 or 5 episodes ago.
Yeah, sounds right.
We talked about identity and that adolescents have a job to do.
Mm-hmm.
And one of their tasks is the need for independence and finding independence.
Mm-hmm. And as a helper, this can be one of the harder things to deal with. And it can be really misinterpreted as being belligerent, obstinate, just trying to push back because you're just a punk teenager. If we can reframe our thinking on that a little bit, that this is a task. And I love to put it in that term of this is their job. They're not really getting paid to do a whole lot, but they're, if we can think about it, this is the job they have to do with the bodies they've been given and the personalities they have to figure out how to move from being a child where everything kind of mirrors and is dependent on the parent to becoming an adult. And there has to be a transition period there, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the big reasons adolescence actually exists is because there's not a lot of rite of passage stuff like anymore of like, you know, kids got married at 13 back 100 years ago or like you took the job on the farm and you as soon as you're able-bodied, you were working, right? And so now you're an adult. That doesn't exist in our society. We don't really have those hard, even, you know, previous episode, we talked about driving, like that kind of used to be the big thing is getting your driver's license. And that isn't really as much of a thing anymore either. And so this task of adolescence of gaining independence is natural and necessary.
Exactly. And this need for freedom you see in a lot of different ways. Like I notice it in our support groups that teenagers will say something and I'm like, why are they so passionate about that?
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll realize, oh, it's because they associate that with freedom. I see it especially with cell phones. And you might think, no, that's a cell phone problem. That's an addiction problem to social media. A lot of times it's a freedom problem. If they don't have their cell phone, they can't go where they want to go. They can't talk to who they want to talk to. These boundaries that often we have for teenagers are good and necessary. But a lot of times you'll get pushback on that because that is you're encroaching on my freedom now. And that's a totally different issue than just I don't want to have a boundary.
Absolutely. And this is going to I think one of the harder things about being an adult and being a helper is that quest for freedom looks different than it did when we were kids. Right. And so, you know, driver's license, getting the job, any of those things that maybe looked more familiar to gaining your own independence 20, 30 years ago might not be as relevant for a teenager to express their own freedom. And so like Carly said, the cell phone is a really big part of this. Mm-hmm. And this is how they communicate. But just knowing as an adult, what you thought was freedom seeking activities might not be the same for adolescents these days.
Right. Another one, I know we talked about driving, but cars are also a freedom seeking thing that they need. And when I've been in groups and a student talks about that their car broke down and they'll be so frustrated and so upset. And I'm sitting there going, get your car fixed or ask your mom can drive you or call a friend. But no, that's their freedom that they can get up and go wherever they want, whenever they want is a freedom that they have. And when that is taken away, that's another big one that teenagers might struggle with.
Yeah. And I think it's good to be mindful in your own life when certain freedoms are taken away, like when your internet goes out or like you said, you're
the worst.
Yeah, exactly. Or the power goes out or just certain things that limit what you're used to doing. And you knowing that frustration, that's no different than a teenager. It's just, but it can manifest itself in ways that seem disrespectful or seem to be pushing back. And all they're really wanting is that ability that, and I use the word agency a lot, to be able to express that part of them that they're starting to realize there's a bigger world out there. There's more for me to know, explore. So giving them those chances to exercise that agency.
Right. And then finally, one of the big things comes down to money, which is also related to finding a job.
Mm-hmm.
It's so, in my mind, teenagers wouldn't want to have jobs. Why would you want to have a job? And a lot don't. Mm-hmm. However, you'll find teenagers are really attached to their job and care very much about how much they make. Hmm. And let me, I've heard conversations between teenagers where they'll swap back and forth. Well, you can make 16 an hour here. This is only 13 an hour. This one's a little more, but it's easy. Hmm. It has flexible hours. They'll talk about that kind of stuff because if they can earn their own money, that leads to freedom. Mm-hmm. That leads to now I can buy my own car. Hey, mom and dad are took my cell phone away or didn't get me the cell phone I wanted. Now I have the money to buy what I want. Mm-hmm. I have the money to go out with friends. I have the money to eat whatever I want. To all of these things come down to money, which money is a problem for your entire life.
Yes.
Unfortunately, you never grow out of that. But teenagers are learning sometimes for the first time, what do I do with my own money? And this is money that I've earned for the first time.
Yeah. And the point of all this is just this idea of freedom of, you know, these are all manifestations of the adolescent task of identity formation. And a huge part of that is having the freedom in which to do so. Now we want to, as the adults in their lives, help them understand the value of boundaries too. Freedom and boundaries kind of go hand in mm-hmm. hand, right? You don't want just freedom to go wherever. You want the boundaries in which to be able to use that freedom to the best of your ability. And so knowing the time that you do have should be governed by some kind of boundary, which we've talked about in the podcast.
Exactly. And one thing on this one in particular is I think it's important to give more independence over time. Hmm. For example, for middle schoolers, you will probably have stricter boundaries mm-hmm. on your middle schooler. You will probably have stricter boundaries on your teenager who just got their driver's license. And that's okay. But as a parent, think through, are there ways that I can give them more independence as they grow up? Mm-hmm. So hopefully their boundaries don't look the same in sixth grade and their senior year of high school. Mm. Hopefully those boundaries have maybe changed and morphed so that they have more independence as a senior. So then when they leave your house and they don't have those boundaries in them anymore, they don't go crazy mm-hmm. because they know, well, I have had bits of independence. I have had a job. I have had to figure out how do I balance my money. And mm-hmm. how do I spend that wisely? Because my parents have walked me through that instead of going from no independence to full independence. And that's where I see a lot of teenagers get in trouble.
Mm-hmm. And again, I think I'm a huge believer in if you can find a way to give agency to a teenager in a safe way, mm-hmm. I think you need to do it. Because, yeah, they might fail at it or might not work out well, but at least they've had that shot at making the decision or being a part in that decision-making process where they have some stake in this, where it's not just all done for them, right? And so just as adults knowing we have a lot more agency to give agency than we think. Mm. We don't really have to always make all the hard decisions that sometimes we can involve teenagers in those things so they can have a say in it and feel like they're getting more freedom in all of those things.
Hey, podcast listeners, it's Carly Duke, and we have been getting incredible feedback on our podcast, and we wanted to give you three quick ways to show your love to the Teen Life podcast. So first of all, if you're not subscribed already, go into your favorite podcast app and make sure you're subscribed so you never miss an episode. I promise we have some incredible stuff coming up soon, and you will not want to miss a single trend, tip, or topic that we're talking about when it comes to teenagers. The second thing you can do is go into your app and review the podcast. Give any suggestions, tell us your favorite episode. We would love to hear from you in your favorite podcast app. And then finally, if you know someone else that you think would love this podcast, please share it. Share it on social media or just text a link to your friend and make sure that others know about this resource so that they can join in the conversation as well. As you know, we do not believe that teenagers are a problem to be solved, and we are so glad that you're with us to help connect to teenagers. So for our trend today, Chris, I want to talk through likes.
Likes.
That sounds so general when I say that. Like, yeah. What do you mean likes?
Yeah. Yeah. It sounds very generic.
So what I'm talking about when I say likes is on Instagram, on TikTok, on Facebook, if that's a thing for teenagers, which it's not really.
It's not really. No.
Spoiler alert. Mm-hmm. But anywhere where they are that their post or their content can be liked, commented on, shared, mm-hmm. follow count is also big. Mm. So let's talk about the effect of likes on teenagers, because this is huge. And then towards the end of the section, I'm also going to give an update on a trend.
Okay.
Because this is a trend, because something new has happened more recently. And I'm excited about it.
Yeah. And we were talking before this, when we classify this as a trend, that's interesting, because likes feel like it's been around for a while, but it has changed so much. And so if you don't like this concept of your kid being qualified by a like, that this could just be a trend and something else could be down the road.
Exactly. So when it comes to likes, like Chris said, I'm saying like a lot. I'm very Valley girl.
Yeah, you are. Like. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Like.
Uh-huh.
But when it comes to likes, this is not anything new. But when it comes to, like, I've looked up a few different sources on this, and gaining followers or likes on Instagram can actually be like a dopamine hit to your brain. And so that's the chemical associated with pleasure, mm-hmm. which means you want it again and again and again. But what's scary is that while likes have been around for as long as Instagram, Facebook, all of those things have been around, the algorithm and the way that social media lets you get likes has vastly changed.
Hmm.
And that's what's scary.
Yeah.
So for example, a teenager could be getting 200 likes on all of their posts and they're feeling really good about themselves and they're getting that dopamine and they feel like they're valuable and feel like they're being liked. And then the algorithm shifts and their friends aren't seeing their posts anymore because the algorithm is different.
Hmm.
And now they're getting 75 likes.
Hmm.
And so then that turns into, well, what have I done wrong? Why don't people like me anymore? And this feeling of I'm not good enough.
So the rules change on them essentially.
Right? Exactly.
Yeah. And for a teenager, they're not going to really understand that unless they're really up to date on the technology side of Instagram, which people just use this. They don't really think much about how the sausage is made behind the scenes. But you would just think that if it works, you know, if I got all these likes today, why would this change? And that's a really unfortunate thing for a student to have to understand is that those things change.
Exactly. In a UT article, like University of Texas said that not getting enough likes actually causes adolescents to reduce their feelings of self-worth, which then leads to depression. And so these feelings of rejection, inadequacy, that can all come just based on the like count that they get.
Just a digital little thumbs up.
Exactly. Thumbs up, heart. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah. That a lack of that and an artificial environment has such a powerful, profound impact on mental health.
It really does. And so one quote that I loved said that these results are striking in part because adolescents aren't getting bullied or harassed. They're just not getting liked as much as they want to be. So what we might equate with they're getting cyberbullied, that's not what's happening. They're just not getting the attention that they want. But it's causing vast consequences for mental health. One thing I want to talk about, Chris, is why is this such a problem?
Okay.
Because it is. And I think part of it, the main one, comes down to its social comparison. When I'm looking at my likes, I'm also looking at my friend over here who posted a similar picture or maybe even the same picture, and they got twice as many likes as me. And so that turns into a comparison.
You know, it's funny. We were talking about this before we hit record, but I get this. You know, as an adult, like I'm not a frequent poster that, you know, so I'm on social media, but I'm more of a lurker than I am an actual user. Yeah. I just look at stuff. I don't really interact. I don't know what to do, but if I do happen to post and I don't get a lot of interaction, that I don't delete it, but I don't feel good about it. Like, I would have liked to have, especially if it has something to do with my family or my kids, you know, if I put it out there, you know, I want people to say, oh, your family looks so great or whatever. And when that doesn't happen, I don't think about algorithm. I don't think about time of day. I don't think about anything of that sort. It just kind of leaves you with a kind of a blah feeling, right? Even as an adult, it doesn't depend on this stuff. So for an adolescent growing up around all this, these things like self-comparison and self-worth, you know, that's a, I guess I get it. And I feel bad for kids.
I get it too. And I'll even find myself, I'm aware of this because I've done research into it and for years have studied this kind of stuff, but I'll do that when I post a post and even make flippant comments like, well, apparently no one likes that one. Or, hey, you're not as popular if I post about Josh and it doesn't get as many likes, like that kind of thing. It's just different. It's something we look at. And I don't even have notifications on my phone. So I have to get on Instagram to see how many likes I have. But most of your teenagers will have notifications. So they are going to get a ping on their phone every time it's liked, every time there's a comment.
Wow.
And can you imagine that just like it leads to an obsession of checking, but it also just leads to, can you imagine how stressful that is?
Because
mm-hmm. you're waiting for that. And when you get it, you also feel good. But if you're not getting what you think you should, it also changes.
That's just not even fair.
Well, it's not. And what I think is also so sad is that teenagers will delete if they don't get the response they want.
Mm-hmm.
Like you'll find a lot of teenagers have a threshold. If this post doesn't get so-and-so likes, I'm deleting it.
Mm-hmm.
If it doesn't get so many likes in a certain amount of time, like in the first 5 minutes, if I don't get any likes, I'm going to delete it. No one likes it.
Yeah. Yeah. And they all have that number. It's all different for everyone. They have a number that they, that threshold. And I'm not sure where they come to that number, but
they probably don't either.
No, they don't either. Yeah. Yeah. But it, in some ways they know and it's deleted so that they don't look bad.
And that's why I'd say, ask your teenager, what would you classify as a successful post?
Mm-hmm.
And what's scary is they might have one post that was a big life event or something really cool that happened that will get a lot of interaction. But now that's the new threshold.
Hmm.
So every post after that, if it doesn't hit that number, it's not successful anymore.
Hmm.
And so it's almost like trying to keep up. And it's this cycle of I'm never good enough. I'm never as good as what I did last time,
mm-hmm.
which takes the fun out of social media. Social media should be fun. It should be a way to interact and share. And unfortunately, these likes have gotten in the way of that.
And just to kind of overlay, one of the big issues here is this is all happening during adolescence.
Mm-hmm.
It's the developing brain that is highly impressionable during a time like this that is burdened with this constant need for likes, which is an adolescent thing anyways, but it's magnified and compounded and becomes, if it's not called out for what it is, leads to very unhealthy adult behavior because it kind of follows you in because it makes such an indelible impression on you as you're growing up. And so it's really important as adults that we have healthy conversations around social media and likes. And what does this really mean?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know, this virtual world that we're living in, is this real? Is this even fair, right? Is this even a fair assessment of someone's self-worth?
Right. And one trend I'm noticing is how teenagers get likes or ask for likes. So we were talking about Sarah Brooks actually posted a blog post about Instagram in 2013, and we'll link that.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot has changed since then.
Mm-hmm.
But back then, teenagers would say like for like, follow for follow. They would put on their post how many likes they were trying to get to, which I think one of her examples was like 40, which I think teenagers now would consider an utter fail,
right,
if a post only got 40 likes. But now what I'm seeing is when I see a teenager post, which we talked about a few episodes ago, they're not posting as often
mm-hmm.
as they used to. But when they do, they will share this post in their story and they'll say something like, go show love, go comment, give me a like. And they'll put that in there and then their friends go in there and they start to comment. They share it. The teenager that I followed, they are constantly sharing each other's posts because it's almost like, hey, if you support me, I'll support you.
Yeah,
I'll return the favor.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And so they are doing things like that. They're asking for people to share. They're asking for people to like. But what's so interesting, when I was doing some research into this, there were all these social media accounts or social media websites for businesses that were basically saying, go look at how teenagers do it because they're doing it right.
Huh.
Because they're getting so much more interaction than anyone else because they're asking for it.
Interesting.
And so that's interesting too, that they're almost looking at like, hey, everyone go look at how the teenagers are doing it if you want interaction, because they're getting the interaction that they want, but they've constantly have to work for it.
Yeah. This is very much an example of kids leading the way.
Yes.
And adults having no idea what's going on. And that's always been a big problem with social media, is that the adolescents figured out before we do.
Yeah. And, well, because they're native to it and we're not.
Yeah, exactly. And so us realizing that and humbly knowing this might not be my area of expertise and having them teach us how that works.
Right. So finally, to wrap up this section, I want to hit on something that's newer as of May. I've heard that this is coming for a long time and it looks different than I thought. But Instagram and Facebook came out that now you can hide like and view counts on your post or on other posts.
Really?
So I've heard for years that this was coming and that it was going to be across the board, that likes were going to go away on Instagram. And that's not what happened. but you can go into your settings and I'll post a link here of exactly how that works and how you can go through and do that. But I can go and say, no one gets to see view and like counts on any of my pictures and videos anymore. Actually, you do it per post.
Okay.
So if I post a picture, but I can say this is hidden. So someone can go on and see like so-and-so liked it, but they won't see the actual number of how many likes.
Hmm.
Now, apparently there is, I haven't actually tested this yet, but there is a way that I could then go into the back end and still find that, but it's harder. It's an extra step.
Okay.
And so that's what's interesting is teenagers can do that for themselves. I'm going to be honest. I don't know how many will do this,
mm-hmm.
but it's something to talk to your teenager about. It's something to consider. And then you can also go into your overall settings and hide like and view counts on everyone else's. So when you scroll through Instagram, you won't see like and view counts. So it almost takes away that comparison game.
Mm-hmm.
It's also, there's a study I read that said that for teenagers, if something is liked more in their brain, they establish it has more appeal. Even if, so if their likes weren't there, they might pick a different photo. But if they're looking at two pictures and one has more likes, they're going to have, even if it's fake, more appeal is going to be given to that picture.
Interesting.
So it's really interesting.
Well, it almost seems to me that it would take an influencer kind of person to lead the way on mm-hmm. using that feature before others would.
Right.
I would think, because it seems counterintuitive if the likes are what gets you there, why you would turn them off.
Yeah, exactly. And so that's where, like I said, I'm going to be surprised if teenagers mm-hmm. do it, but maybe they will. Maybe there will be a movement where people say, we're not going to be defined by likes anymore.
Hmm.
And they'll all change it. So just know that this is a thing. Talk to your teenager about it. Maybe it's helpful if they just hide the likes of others, if they don't want to hide their own likes, but that would take the comparison off. Or maybe ask your teenager, hey, will you try this with me for a week?
Mm-hmm.
Let's just try it for a week and turn it off. And then we can come back and discuss, did you like it? Did mm-hmm. you not? Was it worth it?
And it doesn't take away the likes, right? I mean, they're there. You're just not seeing them,
yes.
right? And so if
you don't see the number.
Right, exactly. And so you don't really have anything to lose by doing that.
Exactly. So I would tell you, do an experiment mm-hmm. and see if you like it or if your teen likes it.
All right, Carly. So for our tip this week, we're going to talk about something kind of old school, but something around teen life we love doing. And that's dropping notes in the mail.
I love this.
Yes. I love hate it.
You don't like writing them?
I don't like writing them. Yeah. Yeah. Like I'm 42 with the penmanship of a 5-year-old. And so, for me to actually write a good legible note that someone could actually appreciate and know it's in the English language takes me a little bit. And
so you go back to your handwriting.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Skills.
Yeah. Then my arms start taking and after writing too much, I'm just a big baby. But anyways, I do know the power of the handwritten note.
Yes.
And if my mother was listening to this, she would just fall over in her chair. Cause I remember fights when I was a teenager about writing thank you notes. When I got a birthday gift or a senior gift, like I had to write all this. I hated it and I fought it so much. But now the teen life is we try to, you know, build relationships with the people who work with us. It's one of the most powerful things we do.
I will say I love words. I love to write. I don't write notes as much as I should, but I have boxes in my closet from my middle school and high school years of notes that I got.
Really?
Notes that were passed in class. I used to go on church retreats and we would always set up folders and all weekend you would write notes to each other and drop them in there. Mm-hmm. I have every single one of those folders mm-hmm. from every retreat I ever went on.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so I don't go back and look at them very often, but it's so sweet to remember those. And that's something you can hold on to.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that was really cool, my parents, when we were growing up, before I was born, my parents started a journal that they wrote in through my mom's pregnancy and then big events, birthdays, they would write notes to me in this journal. And then when I graduated from high school, they gave it to me.
Hmm.
And I That's have that. Powerful. So I have these words that my parents, even before I was aware of what was going on, that they tracked for me. And these words of here's what you're doing now. And here's what I see in you.
Mm-hmm.
That is so powerful. And that's one of the most treasured things that I own. And so a text is cool. A phone call is cool. A DM and social media is cool, but that's not something that they're going to hang on to or keep.
Mm-hmm.
And I bet you'd be surprised if you mailed, especially in the summer when maybe you're not seeing teenagers as often, if you mailed them something, I bet a lot of them would keep it.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And I know when my little kids get just a note in the mail, what a big deal. I mean, it's just something special about getting something in the mail.
Exactly.
And you know, as you're talking about these notes, digital and text live forever in the digital world, but they don't have the same impact as a note that's going to live forever in your desk drawer. Mm-hmm. Right. And I think we have a lot of potential impact we can give on something as simple as dropping a note saying, hey, happy birthday, or thinking about you this summer, can't wait to see what's going to happen with you, or hey, you know, been thinking about you. And it doesn't take many words. Mm-hmm. I think something that's very specific to a point in your relationship that you have might be the thing they needed to get through that day.
Exactly. So this week, we encourage you, we challenge you, write a note, pick a teenager, drop it in the mail, put a stamp on it. Doesn't take much.
All right, that's a wrap on this one. Thank you so much for listening. A special thanks to Carly Duke and to Kelly Fan for producing this podcast. Also to Luke Cabrera for our awesome podcast music. If you want to know more about Luke and his music, check out his contact info in the description. Well, this podcast is for the helpers, and we really hope you feel helped. If there's something we haven't talked about or a topic that you're really interested in, email us at podcast@teenlife.ngo, and we will do our best to get to that topic. We will see you next week.